I'm Bay, and you're listening to Bay Baltimore, a weekly pop culture and society podcast recorded in a quiet neighborhood in Baltimore. This week, I want to talk about a Netflix series that I have put off watching. I couldn't even tell you why I put off watching it, I just did. And the series I'm talking about is Russian Doll, starring Natasha Lyonne as Nadia and Charlie Barnett as Alan. Okay, so let me just jump right into it. This week has been very interesting. The last couple of weeks have been interesting here in Baltimore specifically. But today was, the day I'm recording this is uniquely interesting for me. A little bit sad too, because today is the day that Toni Morrison passed. And if you don't know yet who Toni Morrison is, or at least you've just seen the headline, but you don't know who she really is, all you need to know is that she was an award-winning author. And she was a Black woman author who wrote for, she didn't necessarily write for Black women, but she definitely did write with Black women in mind and to tell different stories of Black womanhood, how we are abused, how we are overlooked, how we find strength within us, how we tap into the strength that's within us. A lot of the stories that she told were supernatural in their root, although the stories themselves were not very supernatural, very human in nature in terms of abuse and racism and, you know, poverty and things like that. But she was one of my favorite writers. One of her first books that I read was The Bluest Eye. And I read it when I was like one summer when I was 14 or so. Maybe younger than that. And then I read it again when I was in college, and I read it. So must have been high school. It was either high school or junior high at this point. I don't think I was 14. I think it was younger than that. Anyway, when I was in either middle school or high school, I was reading it for myself. And I don't even know how I got turned on to Toni Morrison when I was that age, except maybe I'd watched Their Eyes Were Watching God at that point, maybe on PBS or something like that, you know, the one with Halle Berry. Maybe at that point, Eyes Were Watching God was Zora Neale Hurston, but you get my meaning. I watched a film adaptation of one of her books. Maybe it was Beloved. Anyway, I watched one of the film adaptations of her book, one of her books, and from there I began to be excited about reading Toni Morrison. And so, so I read The Bluest Eye, and you know, the meaning I got out of it when I was in middle school or high school was different than the meaning I got out of it in college, of course. I was reading it for different reasons, but as I've gotten older and put those years behind me, I've come to understand that at the time I might not have been able to articulate why I loved Toni Morrison and her writing, but I understand it now. And it is, not only was she speaking, she was telling Black women's stories in these very different ways. She was using spirituality to do that and just unique storytelling, but she was speaking in a voice that I understood. Not that I experienced half of the things that the characters that she wrote about experienced, but her books spoke to me. The writing spoke to me. It didn't sound foreign. It sounded very much, this is one of my aunties writing this. Do you know what I mean? Or a story. One of the people in this story that I'm reading could have been one of my aunties. Anyway, so God rest her soul. She was an inspiration to me for many reasons, especially that as I was coming into my own identity and really understanding who I am and I was. Reading her books and listening to her speak about her own experience and challenge societal norms in the very strong and clear-headed way that she did was inspiring to me, and I will miss her. Anyway, but you didn't come here to listen to me talk about Tony. Although if you do enjoy Tony as much as I do, then you're, you know, a little bit sad like I am as well. But anyway, I recently watched Russian Dolls, a Russian Doll with Natasha Lyonne and Charlie Barnett. And if you listened to the last episode that I did, Colors, or if you've heard me talk, maybe not Colors, but I think it was the Korean, South Korean zombie flicks, I complained in that episode that Netflix is notoriously bad at giving me show recommendations, movie recommendations. They're terrible. Recommended movies that I've never, would never watch before. Recommended genres I've never consider watching before just because it's not my thing. Like teen flicks and all of that. I don't do teen movies. Anyway, but every once in a while they recommend things that are real gems. And so it's just, I don't know, I feel like it's a crapshoot sometimes with those recommendations. But I have had Russian Doll on my home screen for almost a month, or at least ever since it came out on Netflix. It was released, but I never watched it. I watched the trailer a dozen times, but I never watched the movie because I just, I don't know, I wasn't, or the series, because I don't think I was ready to watch it. I didn't think there would be anything good for me in it. As I've shared before, I enjoy watching films with Black women leads. And as you know, if you've seen the series already, I don't even think there are Black women in it, but none of them are leads. And so it's like I wasn't in a rush to watch it. But I listened to a lot of podcasters who watched it and said that they loved it. And then I have friends in real life, for all friends on social media who said that they loved it, and friends in real life who said that they enjoyed it too. So I think, what was it? Not last weekend, but it was the weekend I came back, or maybe the evening I came back from my family reunion in Monroe, Louisiana, that I decided that I wanted to start watching it. And when I did, I could not put that thing down. So, yeah, I just want to talk about it. So, a heads up, spoiler alert. Lots of spoilers. So, in the next little piece, in the next little segment, I'll talk about my experience with the show. Okay, so here goes my spoilery recap review of season one of Russian Doll. And the way it ended, I wonder if there's a season two, although maybe there will be a season two. Anyhow, so again, it stars Natasha Lyonne as Nadia, and Charlie Barnett as Alan. But you don't see Alan until like episode 3 or something like that. And you've watched the trailer, so you get the premise that basically Nadia, played by Natasha Lyonne, is experiencing the worst kind of deja vu ever. And it's the type of deja vu where it's so strong that her life, essentially a time in her life, a day in her life, not even a full day, like a half a day, is on a nightmarish loop. And at the end of that loop, she dies every time. And at first, the first time she dies, she just thinks, oh, wow. You know, she doesn't really remember that she died. And she kind of snaps out of it. And she just thinks, oh, this is trippy. This is a trippy coincidence. She's at her birthday party. And yada, 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 the same things are said. Same things happen. And then, you know, just like what they say the butterfly effect is, she makes a certain change. And the next time she dies, she comes back and things are a little bit different. And, you know, at first you don't really understand you're kind of tripping out just like Nadia is. Why is she in this loop? What in the heck is going on? She keeps dying, but like she's not dying in the same way. She's dying in different ways. So what's happening? And it becomes annoying. But annoying in one of those ways is like, can we just crack the code here? And, you know, Nadia becomes that way too. And she, you know, she begins to, I guess the best term to describe it is reanimate. When she reanimates, she always goes back to this bathroom. She's always in the bathroom and the water is running and it's looking as if she's washing her hands. And the more times that she reanimates, the more time she leaves that bathroom, charges out of the bathroom, and she's frantic. And she's just trying to figure out what in the what is happening. And she goes to all sorts of different lengths to try to figure it out. She thinks it's spiritually linked, so she tries to reach out to a rabbi at one point. She thinks it, you know, she thinks a number of different reasons. She thinks she's cursed. She thinks there's ghosts or a spell in the apartment where her friends are throwing her birthday party, because the thing about it is the time period that she keeps reliving is her 36th birthday. And you don't understand at first when you hear about that, it's like not significant at all, but it becomes significant as you go along in the series. Again, it's only 8 episodes. And I think in episode 4, we meet Alan. And the only reason why we meet Alan is because Nadia is she's a coder. And she's going to this office like the day after, the morning after her birthday party at her friend's house. She has a meeting with her coding team. And one of the times, one of the nights she actually survives, she doesn't get killed. And she wakes up and she goes to work. And I'll do a little sidebar. The styling, her styling is very chic, very admittedly the way her hair is done or not done. And the styling that they've chosen to put her in is very punk, but like in a very chic, kind of classy, cool way. Lots of ruffles, lots of contrasting colors, lots of black colors. And taught me something very interesting. I didn't think redheads wore red. I just thought it would clash, but actually it kind of looks cool. Anyway, so maybe it's pink. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's other colors. Anyhow, so the styling is cool. At least her styling is pretty cool. Anyhow, so she goes to work this one particular time. And again, she's on a cycle, so she's gone to work several times. She's each time she reanimates, she lives a little longer. But something ultimately triggers it and she dies. And so in one of these particular reanimations, she goes to work, she gets in this elevator, and when she's introduced to Alan, it's because they go in this elevator. She goes in the elevator to go up to the meeting, and Alan is standing right there, and some sort of malfunction happens with the elevator and it drops. And it drops very suddenly, and you get the impression that it's going to smash to the bottom to the ground. And everybody's freaking out except Nadia and Alan. And the first time that they meet in the elevator, you know, Alan is like, I'm not tripping. And she says something to the effect of, what's the matter? Don't you know we're about to meet a fiery death or something like that? Because again, she's already died and she knows at this point that she's died several times and she keeps being reanimated at her birthday party. And Alan is like, it doesn't matter. I die all the time anyway. And I think that clip was actually in the trailer. Anyway, so, you know, so the first time they meet, she's amazed, but before she can do anything, like, they die. And so it happens again, and she tries to talk a little longer. And you get the idea. So each time they die, they last a little bit longer, and they're both trying to figure out why they keep dying, why they keep coming back. And the story converges, and long story short, we learn that Nadia is a mess. And she's a mess for a good reason. She has a poor relationship with her mother, and there's a reason for that, which I'll come back to. And Alan is a mess as well. And he has a poor relationship with his girlfriend for reasons that become clear. Basically, the long and short of it is Nadia is a mess and she's terrible with relationships. She doesn't do well with commitments. Her last boyfriend was married with children and he was so in love with her that he left her, which is not her fault. It's definitely his fault, but he left his wife and kids to be with Nadia. And after a couple of weeks or whatever, Nadia was like, I can't do this. And she breaks it off. Which again is not Nadia's fault, but it kind of goes into, you know, her psyche in terms of recognizing that her actions have an impact on other people. And so anyway, so she's a mess. We come to know as she's reanimating that she basically is very selfish and she only cares about herself. And then Alan is living with OCD and he's very much wants to be in control of everything and his clothing, the way his house is kept, how he interacts with people. He's very OCD and very uptight. And now that I'm thinking about it, as I'm moving into the why for Nadia and why she's the way she is, I don't know that we exactly know why Alan is the way that he is, apart from the fact that he felt powerless when he was younger. And as a way to kind of overcome that feeling of powerlessness, he wanted to have control over everything and be perfect. And in doing that, he kind of drove a wedge between himself and his girlfriend. And the sad thing about Alan's situation is he keeps reliving the night that he was going to propose to his girlfriend, but he finds out that she's been seeing someone else. And as the stories converge, and they do converge, both Nadia and Alan's stories converge, we come to find out that Nadia initially slept with at her party, or took a man home from her party and slept with a man that it works with, is a professor with Alan's girlfriend. And he's the reason why Alan's girlfriend no longer wants to be with Alan. And so she's breaking up with him that night. And the really weird thing is we come to know that. So the guy that Nadia sleeps with, which is the professor that Alan's girlfriend ultimately has been sleeping with and cheating on Alan with, he's been talking with Alan's girlfriend the entire night at Nadia's party. And so it's at this point where we come to know that somehow or another, Alan and Nadia are more connected than we realize. But what is the thing? What's the reason? Why are they connected? And so as we're trying to get down to the bottom of it, as the two characters, Nadia and Alan, are trying to get to the bottom of why they're connected, we learn more about Nadia's story. Because again, she's the central character. And we come to find out that her mother was living with a mental health condition. And she wasn't doing well. She was symptomatic in a period of time at this particular point in Nadia's life where her symptoms were causing her to have some very erratic behavior. And there was a concern that she would be harmful to herself or someone else. And so there's this, basically, as we come to know, there's a moment of reckoning that both Alan and Nadia have to come to terms with in their own life. Although that's not the reason they're on this loop. They're literally on this loop because, as we come to know, they are so selfish that they interacted with each other and could have been helpful to each other. They just chose not to. Nadia initially died because she was running after a cat that had run away. And she literally just walked into the middle of the street without looking and was hit by a cab and died. Alan initially died by suicide. He leapt from his building after having come back from being broken up with by his girlfriend and getting super drunk. And again, Nadia and Alan meet in a bodega that is owned by Alan's friend that Nadia knows because she goes to that bodega all the time. Anyway, so the night that they the night that they both died, before that, they could have been helpful to each other. They just weren't. Alan was in no place to be helpful because he was drunk. Nadia was in no place to be helpful at the time because she was very focused on the fact that she was 36 and was dreading the birthday because at 36 years old, her mother, I believe her mother took her own life because she was experiencing some major symptoms of her mental health condition. And again, she wasn't on medication, so she was not doing well. And so Nadia just wasn't in headspace to think about anybody but herself. And in a lot of ways, neither was Alan. And so as the episodes go along, they get closer to that realization. And before you know it, toward the last two episodes are them trying to intervene on behalf of each other and not quite getting it right. Still lasting a while, but still dying in some weird and mysterious way. But then in the final episode, which is really cool, they, in different alternate time frames, I guess, end up interacting with each other and saving each other's life. Alan stops Nadia from getting hit by the car, because the thing that we learn about Nadia is that Alan definitely had a death wish and he carried it out, but so did Nadia, by just walking straight into the street without looking. She basically didn't care about her life and didn't care too much about anyone else, because again, she hadn't properly healed from the trauma that she experienced as a child when her mother took her own life, and the situations and experiences she had with her mother leading up to that tragic event. Yeah, so in a lot of ways they were very similar. And so in the last episode, they both finally get to a place where they can try to convince the other person that they are worth sticking around for. And as it turns out, it's a lot of trial and error, but they both convince the other to stick around. And so they do. And that concludes the season. And what I will say is a couple of things. Number one, it was way more interesting than I thought it would be. Number two, it is a really good and entertaining ad for working through your trauma, untreated trauma, seeking mental health support, seeking support in general, going to see a counselor, and being supportive of your friends and family and really paying attention. Recognizing that living with a mental health condition, even though you go through periods of wellness, it's a long-term thing. And you always need to check in, and you always need to be making sure that if something is not right, if you're feeling off, that you're going and you're looking after it. It doesn't always have to be medical intervention or medication intervention, but it can be, you know, talk therapy, adding in wellness tools and all of that. But in a very interesting way, it is an ad for good self-care. It really, really is. Because again, for both Alan and Nadia, both of them, in a lot of ways, suffered greatly because of untreated trauma that happened early on in their life. And it affected who they became as they grew older. And as they began to experience more difficult situations and how they addressed those, Nadia withdrew as she began to meet challenging situations. Alan became even more controlling and more obsessive because of his, again, both of them are reactions to untreated trauma in their childhood. Superb. Awesome. I didn't expect to watch this series and see this basic advertisement for good self-care. It's brilliant. I think it's awesome. That said, the way it ended, I don't know how a season two would go, because the way it ended, they're out of the loops. They're no longer looping, or at least that's what the impression is, that they're no longer looping and that they've righted the wrong that started them on the loop in the first place. And they've learned a lot about themselves and they've corrected some mistakes of their own. So yeah, wasn't expecting that. Very good series. Way to go, Netflix. Way to go, Natasha Leone, who was one of the executive producers of the show. Amy Poehler was too, and I don't really watch much of Amy Poehler's work just because, you know, I just don't. But really good, really good. Really good acting from Charlie Barnett and Natasha, you know, she was great herself. And it was a really great supporting cast too, but those two, it was really great chemistry, and I really enjoyed watching the series, and I think you will as well. Again, it's not preachy. The conclusion that I came to was very subtle. You go along for the ride in the story. You really do. You're invested in both of these characters, even though, you know, when you really get to know Nadia, she's trash because she just hasn't worked on herself. Even though when you get to know Alan, you feel sorry for him, but it's like, ugh, and what are those pitiful? I feel sorry for you, baby. Can you just, you know, get a spine? Calm down, take a breath. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though there are qualities about each character that you just kind of, that aren't redeemable at times or don't feel redeemable at times, you come to root for them. You come to become invested in the story, their survival. And it's a really well done series. And I do look forward, even though I don't know how they'll do it, I do look forward to a season 2. So yeah, like I said, I really liked Russian Doll, and I encourage you to watch it because it's really awesome. So on another note, I found a little birdie actually turned me on to converting my podcast into YouTube videos. So I'm in the process of doing that. In addition to creating... Well, I may do that, or I may just leave it on this platform, but I am definitely going to incorporate YouTube podcast videos into the media that I create. I've already generated one that has nothing to do with the topic for today. It's just talking about something that was on my mind that you should check out. The link to that video is in the description box of this show. I don't really know the frequency of my video uploads. I may do it weekly. I may do it whenever I feel like it. I haven't decided, but I'm definitely going to utilize that forum more often. And so I hope you keep up with me there, as well as continue to listen to the show on however you listen to my podcast, actually. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sticking around. If you want to leave me a message on the anchor.fm app, all you have to do is click the link for this show. It'll take you right to my page, and there's a button where you can just click that button and leave me a message. You don't have to download a thing in the world. Just leave me a message. Just hit record. And while you're there, you can also donate. Even 99 cents will be a helpful contribution. Again, because I'm trying to do new things in this new year, or new podcast year. You might notice that this episode is season 2, episode 15, because now I'm keeping track of seasons. Because, you know, I've been doing this for a year straight now, and I might want to take a break from the podcast for, you know, a couple of weeks, but I'll still upload videos to YouTube. So I haven't figured out exactly what I'm going to do, but until then, just follow me here. Leave me a favorable rating wherever you listen to the show. Pocket Cast, Google. I always forget this. Apple, Radio Public, all of the places, everywhere where you could listen to this show, where you do listen to this show, I would appreciate a favorable rating, because, you know, between rating it favorably and sharing episodes, that's how folks are going to know about this show. That's how folks are going to engage with the content that I'm creating. So if you find this useful, you find it entertaining, or you just put it on as background music or background noise while you're completing task, tell somebody else so that they can do it too. All right. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Until next time.